As Davey says, it's good to have Geordie and Sadie and Netta and Margaret with us this morning. It's good. Could we commence by reading 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. A well-known verse, and as we're thinking about the Word of God this morning, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word of God, because in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made which was made, and Him was the life, and the life was the life of man. And we all owe our life this morning to the Lord Jesus Christ. So 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 states that, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And in this verse we see that we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ are to study the word of God to understand what God is saying to us through His word. And in so doing, we will gain knowledge of God Himself. And through His word, we will be drawn close to Him. We want this morning to read of chapters 5 and victory in Judges chapter 11. Judges chapter 11. I'm reading from verse 25. Sorry, reading from verse 29. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead and Manasseh, and passed over Mizpah and Gilead, and from Mizpah of Gilead he passed over unto the children of Ammon. And Jephthah vowed a vow unto the Lord, and said, "If thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into my hand, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering." So Jephthah passed over unto the children of Ammon to fight against them, and the Lord delivered them into his hands. And he smote them from Azor even till they come to Minnith, even 20 cities, and unto the plain of the vineyards with a very great slaughter. Thus the children of Ammon were subdued before the children of Israel. And Jephthah came to Mizpah unto his house, and behold, his daughter came out to meet him with timbrels and with dances. And she was his only child. Beside her he had neither son nor daughter. And it came to pass, when he saw her, that he rent his clothes and said, "Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art the one of them that trouble me, for I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back." And she said unto him, "My father, if thou hast opened thy mouth unto the Lord, do to me according to that which hath proceeded out of thy mouth, for as much as the Lord hath taken vengeance for thee of thine enemies, even of the children of Ammon. And she said unto her father, Let this thing be done for me. Let me alone 2 months, that I may go up and down upon the mountains and bewail my virginity, I and my fellows. And he said, Go. And he sent her away for 2 months. And she went with her companions and bewailed her virginity upon the mountains. And it came to pass at the end of 2 months that she returned unto her father, who did with her according to his vow, which he had vowed, and she knew no man, and it was a custom in Israel that the daughters of Israel went yearly to lament the daughter of Jephthah the Gileadite 4 days in a year. verse 29 again, he says, Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he passed over Gilead. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah. And despite being empowered with the Spirit of the Lord, Jephthah failed to trust the power of God and made a rash vow in an apparent moment of panic. As Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 22 states that, But if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin in thee. If thou shalt forbear to vow, then it shall be no sin in thee. No vow means no sin of not keeping that vow. At the moment when the flames are at the door, a vow comes easily to our lips from our memory. At the moment when the flames are at the door, a vow comes easily to our lips, but when a cool rain drives calamity from our memory, it is too easy to double cross God. The implications of doing that could be far worse than the original danger. A vow is voluntary. A person never has to make one, but once it is uttered, the Lord considers it sacred and binding. If we are not really sure of what we want to do in a situation, if we are not absolutely certain this is what we are led to do, then we had better not promise it, as it is better not to make a vow in the first place, not to make a vow than to make one and not keep it, because the keeping of a vow is an obligation, and breaking of it is an offence to God. The thought of breaking a vow made to God should make us shudder with fear. Numbers 3 and verses 1 to 2 state, And Moses spake unto the heads of the tribes of Israel concerning the children of Israel, saying, This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. If a man vows unto the Lord, or swears an oath, to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceedeth out of his mouth. And Deuteronomy 23 and verse 21 states, When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it, for the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. Then, according to these verses, it would seem that Jephthah knew these verses about vows, and therefore he fulfilled his rash vow and sacrificed his beloved daughter. And then, how exactly did Jephthah fulfill his vow? Some scholars contend that Jephthah sacrificed his daughter as a burnt offering, but others argue that he confined his daughter to perpetual virginity. Sadly, it seems that Jephthah did not know of Leviticus chapter 5 and verse 4 to 6. where God did provide for the redemption of thoughtless, careless vows, as these verses read. If a soul swear, pronouncing with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatsoever it be, that a man shall pronounce with an oath, and it be hid from him, when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty in one of these. And it shall be, when he shall be guilty in one of these things, that he shall confess that he hath sinned. He shall confess that he hath sinned in that thing. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord for his sin. And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord for his sin, which he hath sinned. A female from the flock, a lamb or a kid of the goats, for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sin. And so we see that according to these verses, that Jephthah could have sacrificed a female lamb or a kid for his sin instead of his beloved daughter. And also why it is vital for us to study the Word of God and to know what it says, so that we can make right decisions according to God's Word. Then in 1 Samuel chapter 14, we read of King Saul's rash vow. 1 Samuel chapter 14. Now it came to pass upon a day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armour, come and let us go over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side. But he told not his father. And Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, which is in Migron, and the people that were with him were about 600 men. And Ahiah, the son of Ahiatob, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing an ephod, and the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. And between the passages by which Jonathan sought to go up over onto the Philistines' garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side, and the name of the one was Boaz and the name of the other Senna. The forefront of the one was situate northward over against Mishmash, and the other southward over against Gibeah. And Jonathan said to this young man that bare his armour, come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And the armour bearer said unto him, do all that is in thine heart. Turn thee, behold, I am with thee, according to thy heart. Then said Jonathan, behold, we shall pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. If they say thus unto us, tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place, and will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand, and this shall be a sign unto us. And both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they had hid themselves. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew after him. And at the first slaughter which Jonathan and his armor bearer made was about 20 men within, as it were, a half acre of land which a yoke of oxen might plough. And there was trembling in the host in the field and among all the people of the garrison. And the spoilers, they also trembled, and the earth quaked, so it was a very great trembling. And the watchmen of Saul in Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude melted away, and they went on bearing down one another. And then said Saul unto the people that were with him, number now and see who is gone from us. And when he had numbered, behold, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. And Saul said unto Ahiah, bring hither the ark of God, for the ark of God was at that time with the children of Israel. And it came to pass while Saul talked unto the priest, that the noise that was in the host of the Philistines went on and increased. And Saul said unto the priest, withdraw thine hand. And Saul and all the people that were with him assembled themselves, and they came to the battle. And behold, every man's sword was against his fellow, and there was a very great discomfiture. Moreover, the Hebrews that were with the Philistines before that time, which went up with them into the camp from the country round about, even they also turned to be with the Israelites that were with Saul and Jonathan. Likewise, all the men of Israel, which hid themselves in the Mount Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines fell, even they also followed hard after them in the battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed over unto Beth-Aven. And the men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had adjured the people, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged on mine enemies. So none of the people tasted any food, and all they of the land came to a wood, and there was honey upon the ground. And when the people were come into the wood, behold, the honey dropped, but no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with the oath, wherefore he put forth the end of the rod that was in his hand, and dipped it in an honeycomb, and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened. Then answered one of the people and said, thy father strictly charged the people with an oath, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food this day. And the people were faint. Then said Jonathan, my father hath troubled the land. See, I pray you, how mine eyes have been enlightened, because I tasted a little of this honey. How much more, if happily the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies, which they found? For had there not been now a much greater slaughter among the Philistines? And they smote the Philistines that day from Mishmash to Ajalon, and the people were very faint. And the people flew upon the spoil, and took sheep and oxen and calves, and slew them on the ground, and the people did eat them with the blood. Then they told Saul, saying, behold, the people sin against the Lord, in that they eat with the blood. And he said, ye have transgressed, roll a great stone unto me this day. And Saul said, disperse yourselves among the people, and say unto them, bring me hither every man his ox, and every man his sheep, and slay them here, and eat and sin not against the Lord in eating with the blood. And all the people brought every man his ox with him that night, and they slew them there. And Saul built an altar unto the Lord. The same was the first altar that he built unto the Lord. And Saul said, "Let us go down after the Philistines by night and spoil them with the morning light, and let us not leave a man of them." And they said, "Do whatever seemeth good unto thee." Then said the priest, "Let us draw near hither unto God." And Saul asked counsel of God, "Shall I go down after the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into the hand of Israel?" But he answered him, "Not that day." And Saul said, "Draw ye near hither, all the chief of the people, and know and see wherein this sin have been this day. For as the Lord liveth, which saveth Israel, though it be Jonathan, my son, he shall surely die." But there was not a man among all the people that answered him. Then said he unto all Israel, "Be ye on the one side, and I and Jonathan, my son, shall be on the other side." And the people said unto Saul, "Do what seemeth good unto thee." Therefore Saul said unto the Lord God of Israel, "Give a perfect lot." And Saul and Jonathan were taken, but the people escaped. And Saul said, "Cast lots between me and Jonathan, my son." And Jonathan was taken. Then Saul said to Jonathan, "Tell me what thou hast done." And Jonathan said unto him, and said, "I did but taste a little honey with the end of the rod that was in mine hand, and lo, I must die." And Saul answered, "God do so, and more also, for thou shalt surely die, Jonathan." And Saul answered, "God do to me, and more also, for thou shalt surely die, Jonathan." And the people said unto Saul, "Shall Jonathan die, who hath wrought this great victory, who hath wrought this great salvation in Israel? God forbid, as the Lord liveth, there shall not one hair of his head fall to the ground, for he hath wrought with God this day." So the people delivered Jonathan, that he died not. If Saul swore pronouncing with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatsoever it be that a man shall pronounce with an oath, it and it be hid from him, when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty in one of these. And it shall be when he shall be guilty in one of these things, that he shall confess that he hath sinned in that thing, and he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord for his sin, which he hath sinned, a female from the flock, a lamb or a kid of the goats, for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sin. And so we see that according to these verses, that Jephthah could have sacrificed a female lamb or a kid for his sin instead of his beloved daughter, and also why it is vital for us to study the Word of God and to know what it says, so that we can make right decisions according to God's Word. Then in 1 Samuel chapter 14, we read of King Saul's rash oath. And here we see that Israel's army are ravenous because of Saul's oath. And the army disobeyed the covenant laws regarding the proper preparation of meat according to Genesis chapter 9 verse 4, which reads, "But flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat." And Leviticus 7 and 26, "Moreover, ye shall eat no manner of blood, whether it be fowl or of beast, in any of your dwellings. Then in Leviticus chapter 7 and 10, and whatsoever man there be of the house of Israel or of the strangers that sojourn among you that eateth any manner of blood, I will even set my face against that soul that eateth blood without off, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. It is the blood that maketh atonement for the soul. Saul sinned in making his rash oath, and the army sinned by eating blood, and yet Jonathan, who had not sinned because he was unaware of Saul's rash vow, was to be put to death for simply tasting some honey. So the army, recognizing Jonathan's righteousness, delivered Jonathan from Saul, who also, like Jephthah, could have offered a female lamb or a kid for his rash oath, and made an atonement and spared Jonathan, had they knew the word of God, according to Leviticus chapter 5, 4 and 6, where a female lamb or a kid can be offered as a sacrifice to make an atonement for the sin of making a rash vow. And 2 Timothy 3 and 16, where we read, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Jephthah and Saul had five books of Moses for guidance in their day, but for us in our day, we have the full canon of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. 66 books which are profitable, which are given by inspiration of God and are profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And this is the reason why we should study, to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen and women that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. As we read our Bibles and learn God's word, we come closer to God and learn of him. Jephthah and Saul got it wrong in regarding to making their rash vows and not making the appropriate sacrifice of a female lamb or kid to make atonement for their sin. But the problem for we as believers today regarding our sin is not in making the appropriate sacrifice for our sin, for we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Son, the Lamb of God, paid the price for our sin on the cross, and all our sin, past, present and future, is paid for when the Lord cried, "It is finished." And when we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin and all unrighteousness. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5 states, "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, thus the sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me, in burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God." Above, when he said, "Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offerings for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law." Then said he, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. And so we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ has paid the price for all our sin. And 1 John chapter 1 verse 9 states, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And Hebrews chapter 10 and 17, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. The Lord says, their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Then we, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ today, believe that our sins, past, present and future, are all forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have his word that he will remember them no more. But our problem is that we remember our sins, and through guilt let the remembrance of them rob us of our peace with God, which causes us to be anxious and to worry and to lack faith. In Philippians chapter 3 verse 13, the Apostle Paul says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things, which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In these verses we see that the Apostle Paul, who described himself as the chief sinner because he persecuted the church of God and was consenting unto the death of God's martyr Stephen, Paul is saying that he will forget those things which are behind him and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So then, if the chief sinner, the Apostle Paul, can forget about his past sins, so then we should be able to forget about our past sins and to also reach forth unto those things which are before and to press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Also, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is also our judge, says that our sins and iniquities he will remember no more. So if the Lord Jesus Christ, our judge, will remember them no more, so then why should we remember them and let them rob us of our peace and joy? Then if you're listening to this message and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and have peace with God, your sins, Christ as your Saviour and have peace with God, your sins being forgiven, why not at this time ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you according to his word? Whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But remember that this is the accepted time. Behold, this is the day of salvation. And boast not thyself of tomorrow, because tomorrow for you may never come. So why delay? Be saved today. Amen. Would you close in prayer, David? Yes.
Lord, we give you thanks and we praise your name for thy work, for thy work is good. We thank you, Father, for the clarity of it, Father, that whosoever called upon the name of the Lord should be saved. You're true to that promise. But you're true to all the promises of thy work, Father. And we thank you, Father, for the clarity of it, Father, that whosoever calls will be saved. And we thank you, Father, for that, because if it was up to man, we wouldn't have a hope, Lord. And so we thank you, Father, for the doubt that Avara was talking about this morning. You know, when thou bowest a vow unto God, they fear not to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. We know that, Father, that we don't live under the law, we live under grace this evening, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for that, through the precious blood of our Savior and Lord, as our brother has already explained. We thank you, Father, that we are, because without the cleansing, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The price has been paid.
Yes.
And we thank you, Father, for that. When he cried, it is finished. And he gave up the ghost. And so, Father, we thank you that we have a Saviour that died and took our sins away. We were singing it earlier on in the meeting. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. There is no other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so our brother is right on the mark, Father, through thy precious word. And we thank you in the Saviour's name for thy word. How sweet is thy word to my taste, sweet as honey through my mouth. Therefore I get all understanding, therefore I hate any all false things. Thy word is a lightning in my path, and a lamp unto my path. We give you thanks in the Saviour's love and precious name this morning. Amen.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, dear.